Good morning. It is time to get up with a Hollywood shocker, a thrilling finish, an unlikely hero, and a fourth quarter comeback for the ages, leaving a dynasty on the doorstep. Is this how it ends for one of the greatest groups in the history of the sport? Meanwhile, back east, no fun in the sun for the Knicks. Is the heat turned up too high for anyone to cool down? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers. Let's get up with you starting right now. It's a Tuesday in New York, and we are wrapped up and ready to go. We got Legler, the Wind Man, Alan Hahn, Stephen A's on the way. We are jam-packed, and let's not waste any time. Take us there, Will. Last night, La La Land, Lakers and Warriors, game of the night, game of the series, so far by far. Steph Curry needs one to even this matter up. Third quarter, he was doing what he could. Legs, how about this nice fancy behind the back dish?
Unbelievable. You know, his point guard skills have been on display in this series. He's forced to do that right there. An incredible late find in traffic behind the back. A nice finish by DiVincenzo, by the way, going to the other side.
Steph had a triple-double, Warriors by seven, headed to the fourth quarter, but then it's LeBron's time. He had 27.
Yeah, just overpowering people. He was able to pick basically who he wanted to play against most possessions because the Warriors switched so much. First he gets the bucket, then he gets penetration that leads to this Anthony Davis basket.
AD at 23 and 15. We're tied at 84. 8 minutes to go. Warriors down by two. Oh, and Steph in a four-point play.
Thinking, here we go. Steph Curry, and he's feeling it in the moment. Four-point play. Gets the contact. Looks like Warriors are going to be in control there.
Yeah, but then here come the Lakers and Lonnie Walker. Who? Lonnie Walker, the unlikeliest of unlikely heroes. Off the bench, scored all 15 of his points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, this isn't like come in the game and guard somebody or go run point. Come in the game and give us buckets in the biggest game of the season.
Here we go. Final minute. Warriors down by one. Steph working on AD. Puts it up. Tough shot. No good. We got an offensive rebound. Kick it out to Steph. Legs, what does he do?
Hold the ball against AD, does not really take him off the dribble. AD, great job contesting, but I think Steph Curry bailed him out by not utilizing his dribble or maybe getting a screen in that situation.
That's great defense. Now watch this after two made free throws, 15 seconds to go. Look at LeBron calling for a switch.
Yeah, weak side. You know they're going to run this action. They love running that action for Klay Thompson on the weak side of the floor. LeBron calls it early. He and Anthony Davis execute a perfect switch. Warriors turn it over.
Outstanding team defense by the Lakers. And Schroeder says, ah, we got you there, big fella. Ensuing jump ball, 5 seconds left. The Warriors are going to come down with it, but Steph is going to throw it away. Take a closer look. He's got nowhere to go, flat on his back. They had a timeout remaining. They will take that one back with them to San Francisco. Steph scores 31, but the Warriors are on the brink. Lakers win it 104-101. Steph, how about those final shots?
Obviously, knowing he's 7 foot and got, you know, crazy, you know, reach, so you just want to create a little bit of separation. First one, nice little step back. It was in and out. It felt good. Second one, was a little rush, but the shot that I took it because I thought I could make it. So.
All right, so look, first and foremost, he's Steph Curry. You never question him taking a shot in a late-game situation. We talked about it after game one when Jordan Poole took that long shot. If it was Steph Curry, we would not have had the same criticism of it. And so no one will ever say Steph Curry shouldn't be taking big shots late in games. That said, the late-game execution by Golden State really let them down last night.
This was brain death. I can't believe the team with the Warriors' pedigree and experience level made as many mental mistakes as they did down the stretch. Klay Thompson took two horrible shots down the stretch of this game. Steph Curry, right back to 2016 on Kevin Love. And I know Kevin Love is not Anthony Davis. One of the great regrets of Game 7 was not Oh, look at that shot from Klay. My God, what is he doing? And he does another one on the left side that Steve Kerr almost passes out. Watch Steve Kerr. Yeah. Watch Steve Kerr. He can't believe it. And then Steph does not challenge. The whole point was to get Anthony Davis in ISO so you can attack him. The paint is open. And he lets him off the hook just like you let Kevin Love off the hook in 2016. And then Draymond Green. This is a play that is known as hammer action at the end of the game. It was a bread and butter play for LeBron when he was with the Cavaliers. The hammer is named after Darvin Ham.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
LeBron recognizes it and outfoxes Draymond. When does Draymond ever outfox? even Steve Kerr not calling a timeout when he had one, when they got stuck, and Steph Curry falling on the ground, just throwing the ball behind his head when he had a timeout. Is this the Golden State Warriors, the four-time champions? What are they doing? I mean, the Lakers and Lonnie Walker was great, but I couldn't believe them fumbling this away.
So is it as much about what the Warriors didn't get done in the final minutes last night, Alan, as it is what the Lakers did?
Oh, no, I think we're not crediting enough of the Lakers and what they did. I mean, it's a great reference to Kevin Love, by the way, in that one-on-one play, because it's as if Steph decided, I'm just going to take the easy way out instead of making it a little bit harder. But that's the whole point, is that the Lakers were making it harder. And that switch there for LeBron, I mean, that's just elite-level IQ when it comes to reading a play, seeing it, by the way, back to the ball the whole time. Mm-hmm. Still knew what was going on just by watching the action on the weak side. Jump pass, mistake, obviously. Steph, that shot just missed. But as you mentioned, Wendy, those two clay shots were really like, are you trying to do something? Is this the hero ball that Steve Kerr was talking about in one of the timeouts? See, here's the pass there. The jump pass, the action wasn't there. He's anticipating the play happening. It never did. He had to throw it to somebody, so he tried to get it to Wiggins. And then again, we go back to the Laker defense, I thought, though, was fantastic, led by Anthony Davis and LeBron James. See, this is like, how far out is that shot? What's on the shot clock when he takes it? And then this one. And you're so right. I saw Kerr do the same thing. Look at Steph Curry as well. Like, everybody's reaction. Draymond's reaction. You know, like, all of them just have that same reaction of, why? Why are we taking that? And then last but not least is that second Steph Curry shot is the one that I felt like there was 19 left in the game.
Yeah.
He didn't need to take that one. That was the rushed one that makes you wonder, did the Warriors get rattled late in this game because of the Laker defense?
Did it look that way to you?
They didn't play with poise, for sure. But I think also in that situation, if he could do that all over again, they had a lot of success getting switches with Curry on Anthony Davis in the first half of the game. In that situation, when you're 30 feet out, he's out extended with his hand up. You're better off, if you're Steph in that situation, giving it up and then chasing. Now you make Anthony Davis have to run with him, and now you're going to communicate another switch. This first one, that's not a terrible shot for Steph Curry, right? The ball's halfway down as it is. It's this one, as Alan was referencing. Right now, this is a tough spot to operate against AD because of his length. Even if you get by him, he can track you to the rim. I would have loved to have seen him give it up, go into a chase mode, because you still have time. There's plenty of time there. You don't necessarily need a three-point shot right there in that moment. And I think they bailed Anthony Davis out by allowing him to just stand on an island. He never had to move laterally. He only had to take a couple of steps up and back to get that extension on the shot.
And remember game one. He gave it up, and Draymond gave it to Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole took a bad shot, right? If you're Steph Curry in that situation, I ain't giving the ball up, because I don't want that to happen again. I want the ball. I want to take this shot. It's just with 10 seconds on the shot clock, 19 on the game clock, that might have been a rushed long three.
Parenthetically, Jordan Poole hasn't been seen since. Jordan Poole took that shot at the end of game one. I don't think he's played in any of the games.
He didn't play at all in the fourth quarter.
There's been zero proof of his playing since. He had 0 points last night. But let's not sidetrack ourselves. Listen, I agree with everything that you're saying. That said, the Lakers are an elite defensive team. If there's one thing that we have learned in this, ever since they made those trades before the trade deadline, they are a suffocating defensive team.
The Lakers are not a Cinderella.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We said, why did we come on this show for weeks at the end of the season going, I know they're in 12th, but they're formidable. I know they're in 9th, but they're formidable. Because they were. This is no 7 seed. They defend. They can push the pace very well. Maybe not as good as the Warriors, but they push the pace very well. And they've got a deep roster that has a lot of different options on it. Look, we see Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham is a first-year head coach. He's playing all kinds of chess in this series against a Hall of Famer. He's changing up his defensive strategies. He's using different players. And he used Lonnie Walker because he believed. Now, there's no way he thought he'd score 15. But he believed that he had a live body there that he could trust, because this game was getting in the mud. These players were all tired. And one thing that I thought was so interesting, Lonnie Walker makes a couple of baskets. There's a timeout midway through the fourth quarter. And out of the timeout, Darvin Ham draws the play up for Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
He says, guys, we're going to go to Lonnie. And, like, the faith in that, and by the way, of course he made it.
Yeah.
Great coaching, great execution. This is a very good team. But they've been aided by uncharacteristic play by the Warriors.
And who set the screen? LeBron James. Come on, LeBron, come set a screen for me. I mean, yeah. You see that?
Lonnie Walker is calling LeBron over for this game.
And LeBron came.
Put the graphic up there on Lonnie Walker. Let's just give this man his love for the moment. And let's show you the comparison.
Oh, wow.
Lonnie Walker had played 15 minutes and had taken zero shots entering the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter last night, he was 6 of 9, 15 points. He's the first Laker to score 15 in the fourth quarter off the bench of a playoff game since Kobe Bryant did it exactly 26 years ago to the day, May 8th of 1997.
It took something that hasn't happened in over a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you look, if you're Steve Kerr, overall defensively, you had to feel pretty good about what you were able to accomplish. I don't agree with all those switches letting Curry play on LeBron. I think that's something they're going to have to revisit. But for the most part, you're thinking, we've done a good enough job to be in this game and potentially win the game. You get a double-digit lead, and now where's this unaccounted offense going to come from for the Lakers? Lonnie Walker the fourth. Not only does he come in, like I said, it's one thing to come in that situation, you're sitting there all night, and say, listen, we need you to go guard this guy for 6 minutes or handle the ball. Yeah. We need point guards in foul trouble. Can you come in and make shots off the dribble in the biggest game of the year?
A pivotal game.
Be the offense. And I don't think he hit the rim on any of those shots.
But Legs, remember, it's Lonnie Walker the fourth, not the first, second, or third. Right. So it only matters when he plays in the fourth. And that's when it really came up big. Right. Austin Reeves, did he do an I'm him? I don't know. But whatever it was, it's exactly what the Lakers needed. And it's more about what this Lakers team has become. The depth that we didn't know that they had, that they built because of the trade deadline, and then the trust factor in all their players, and the ability for Darvin Ham to make that decision to change up his rotation and put him in it in the midst of this series, which he knew, I need offense.
Look, you make an excellent point. They're now up 3-1 in the second round of the playoffs, and there's no way they are here without, in varying moments over the course of the last 3 weeks, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, who was already there, but whatever, Lonnie Walker the fourth, now D'Angelo Russell, who has had
Jared
big
Vanderbilt.
Moments. All of these moves that they made before the deadline have proved to be critical. Yet, it was another game where over 40 minutes for LeBron, over 40 minutes for Anthony Davis. The two stars have been there when they've needed them. You made the point. LeBron James came out of the game for about 30 seconds of real time. Not even game time. He never even sat down when he came out of the game. LeBron gave them everything, Legler, that he had last night. Anthony Davis gave them everything he had. He finally put two games together back-to-back that we've been talking about, and that is what has the Lakers on the brink of the conference final.
Yeah, I mean, they're grateful today for Lonnie Walker the fourth, because who knows, they probably don't win that game without what he does. But look, they were able to physically assert themselves against this team, and they stayed with it. LeBron and AD continued to be physical and overwhelm them a little bit in the paint late in the game. The only time I've seen the Lakers in this series like really looked gassed was in game two. They looked absolutely exhausted. Look, if you can get the next one, okay, you're going to have some rest. You're going to have some time off. You can refresh and re-energize yourself. I know we talk so much about minutes, and these guys are older. I do believe the adrenaline of this situation, it kind of helps you get through those particular moments.
Okay, fair enough. That said, I'm going to say something and duck. I don't think I even bring LeBron and AD with me to San Francisco for Game 5, to be completely honest with you.
No, you didn't.
Shot to win this series in your own building. You got these guys exhausted.
That team, you would risk something
like that? Oh, no.
I'm obviously being somewhat facetious, but my point
is
your best they play every other day. There's no extra time in here. Is your best chance of winning this series in Game 5 or in Game 6?
You couldn't even consider doing something like that against that particular team.
If I fall behind in the second quarter of that game, I'm saying, hey, LeBron and AD, get some ice on those knees and come back and fight for this thing on whatever night that would be, Friday night. We're going to win this thing at home.
I would expect a very strong response from the Warriors.
Me too.
Five. When they review the film, they don't even need the film. They're going to know how ridiculous their end of game play was. This is a champion. They are not done. So I expect them to push back, and I could see at some point there being a value judgment. But that's, you know, not until you see how the game is going.
Yeah, that's right. Like so middle of the first quarter.
Middle of the first quarter. Load managing for the playoffs.
25s in the second half, early mid third quarter. Oh, maybe you make that decision. You don't make that decision going into the game.
LeBron, AD,
we're going to leave you guys at home.
It's got to be 30 for me to even think about it. 20. That's the NBA. 20-point leads disappear now. They don't. You can cut into a lead. But you can't ever flirt with a momentum in a series, especially if you give life to a champion like the Warriors.
I get it. The Warriors are not Memphis. I understand.
Yeah.
Yes. But this is exactly the – No. But this was Memphis. 2 weeks ago, the Lakers were in this exact situation, and they punted – on game five and said, we're going to beat these guys in our building in game six. It's like in baseball where you don't have to, you save your pitcher for the one game you need to win. You don't have to win five games in a best of seven. You only have to win four. Again, I don't want to sidetrack the conversation. Well, sure I do. I'll sidetrack the conversation. They're not winning game five under any, the Warriors are the hearts of a champion going home with their backs to the wall. The Warriors are winning game five no matter what happens. I'm playing this thing to try and win it in six.
Well, listen, I will say this. I think the Warriors will win the game too, but I don't necessarily think that's some foregone conclusion. They better get better shooting than that of Klay Thompson. And is Jordan Poole at any point going to inject himself in
this
shoot?
Is it possible that all the criticism and everything else from that shot that he took that night, and we were here when we were talking about, remember, you and I were talking about, what do you think Steph is really saying in his car on his drive home? I'm going all the way back to Jordan Poole, and this was not planned here, so our crew is right now back in our control room screaming at me, Greeny, don't call for things we don't have. But Jordan Poole took that terrible shot at the end of game one of this series that, who knows, could wind up costing them. And you and I, everyone stood up for him. Steve Kerr stood up for him, and Steph stood up for him. And you said to me on the drive, who knows what Steph is really saying on his drive home in his car that night. Is it? I don't think Jordan Poole, seriously, has been heard from since. Is it possible his confidence got shattered by all the criticism he heard from that one shot?
I do think it played a part because, look, even as a player, if you take that shot and everybody's saying the right things for you and you get that sound and you hear it and you hear it from your friends and your family, you know what people said. You know what the vibe is and feeling is. And the feeling is that was a horrible decision to take that shot in that situation. Can it affect a young player like that with this much scrutiny and pressure on him to deliver? Yeah, maybe, because Jordan Poole doesn't look anything like the player we saw in the regular season. Certainly not like the guy they gave $128 million to to give them 0 3-point made shots in the last three games in this series.
Since that moment, since this shot, great job by our crew. Again, I just called for that, and they found it somehow in 1 minute because they're the best. But that's the shot we're talking about. And remember Steph, the immediate reaction from Steph. The same looked like Steve Kerr looked last night when Klay took that terrible shot. So one way or another, Jordan Poole hasn't been heard from since. The Warriors are going to come home and they're going to play like their hair is on fire to win game five. And then the Lakers' chance of winning this thing is in game six. Now let's put the full screen up there with the odds, because here's what we have to ask next. The Lakers on April 13th, as Wendy is pointing out, back when they were 12th in the conference. April 13th, in actuality, was 2 days before the first round began. They were 14-1 to win the championship. Now, after going up 3-1 on the Warriors, they're plus 325 to win the title. They are the favorites in the West ahead of Denver or anybody, and they're behind only Boston. Wendy, is this team about to win the whole darn thing?
I have seen worse teams get to the finals than this team. So I would not rule it out. But I would also say one of the axioms of the NBA is there's always time and don't count out a champ. So you can point out how bad Jordan Poole has played. You can point this out. This is not over for the Warriors. I'm looking at those odds and seeing the Warriors at 18-1 going.
Yeah.
I've seen worse bets. I've seen worse teams make the finals, and I've seen worse bets than the Warriors still at 18-1 because I'm not going to count them out. But this Lakers team is a legitimate, multifaceted, experienced, star-led, well-coached, well-practiced, playing their best basketball of the year team. And those odds are a little bit inflated because it's the Lakers, and people will overbet the Lakers because their fans are sometimes irrational.
Yeah.
But those odds are reflective of their performance that they've shown over this last month. They have been a very impressive team.
Alan.
I would take the money out of your cup holder in your car and put it on the Lakers. I would, because of what they have going. Everything that they have going here, the depth that they're showing, how different guys and different nights, is just something special happening with this group. And then on top of it, you have a guy in LeBron James still leading the way that has won more than anybody else playing right now. And then Anthony Davis, who's healthy, and we've always said that. That's always been the asterisk with him. Healthy Anthony Davis, who can play every night, what he can give you. They've got everything you need. And then a rookie head coach that is proving that he also can make adjustments on the fly. There's a lot of reasons to believe in this Lakers team.
Darvin Ham has done an absolutely terrific job.
Yes, he has.
Here, I'll point out that the Warriors during this dynasty run of theirs have been on both sides of 3-1. Legendarily, of course, they lost to the Cavs in the finals 3-1. But I'll remind you, they came back from 3-1 to beat Kevin Durant and OKC, the legendary Klay Game 6 in Oklahoma City that kept that one alive. And that was during that same 73-win season. What do you think? Lakers right now favorites in the West?
Yeah, I think the Lakers are good enough to win a championship. I think it's maybe probably the first time I've said that all year. Because of what they're doing right now defensively and what we've just talked about, the contributions that they're getting from the rest of their roster, which we didn't see for more than half a season, where that was going to come from, the fact that those guys aren't only producing, they're doing it in critical times. Austin Reeves has been huge in the fourth quarter of games. D'Angelo Russell has been huge. Last night, Lonnie Walker the fourth, and then you've got these two stars at the top. They are good enough and complete enough to win a championship. A lot still to be written, though.
We are just getting started. Jay Will's going to jump in here. Stephen A. is on the way coming up. Could it be more bling for the King? Could he be headed toward another ring? Can LeBron and these Lakers win the whole thing? I'll ask Stephen A. that question and plenty more. He is in Los Angeles. Plus, the Butler did it again. Are the Knicks done? Could the Heat win the East? Ugh. We've got it all covered in every direction. We may lose Allen. Be right back. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by FX's Class of 09, streaming May 10th, only on Hulu. Hey, a quick look here, guys. Tigers and Guardians. Akil Baddoo has had better days than he had yesterday. Here he is trying to steal second. He's going to get a pretty good jump. And then things are going to go kind of sideways on him. I want you to take a closer look at this.
Please take a closer look.
No. The second most painful thing about this is that he's out. Legs. It bounces right to the shortstop. So he's out.
Oh my goodness!
Now you gotta read Terry Francona's lips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're gonna get. Give me
Francona's
Tino.
Francona's expression's great.
Show me the skipper. Look at him. It's funny when it doesn't happen either. All right, as we continue, a Golden State collapse. What the actual heck happened to Steph and company? Are the Lakers gonna win the whole thing? Jay Will's on his way next. Get up on ESPN.
Tonight
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us here, bottom of the hour, let's show you that final sequence in Los Angeles again last night. Tim Legler and Jay Will makes his way over here. Steph Curry and company trying to get back in this game. Down by one, 40 seconds left. Back-to-back shots here. Steph Curry against AD legs. How did we feel about these possessions?
This is not a terrible shot for Steph Curry. Goes halfway down. Give Anthony Davis a lot of credit. He had to change directions multiple times. This second one, I think, is where Steph settled a little too quickly and bailed AD out because he didn't have to move laterally. He only had to extend vertically. Good contest.
And now, Jay Will, we've been talking all morning about this switch that LeBron calls for. Up three, the Lakers are. Golden State needing a three and that defensive switch.
Yeah, it was a switch, but also, I mean, Draymond Green, I know the play was look for a flare screen to the corner. But simple basketball IQ, you can't leave your feet for a pass like that at that juncture of the game.
And that would lead to this jump ball and one more blunder by the Warriors. Steph throwing it to no one in particular. They had a timeout remaining, and that is all she wrote. The Lakers win by three. They're up 3-1. And LeBron, after the game, was talking about AD's defense.
Man, he's the best defensive player in the league. I mean, you know, I think the league knows it as well. Not many guys that can protect the rim at all costs and also switch out on point guards, switch out on guys like Steph. Steph is a hell of a player, had a hell of a game. I think he even had a triple-double. But we trust AD guarding anybody in this league, and he showed that.
So Steph did have a triple-double in this game last night, but in the end, it was the Lakers who made the winning plays on the defensive end of the floor and the Warriors some mistakes. How did you see it, Jay Will?
I mean, first off, shout out to Lonnie Walker. Like, I've known him since he went to Reading High School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and for him to have 15 points in the fourth quarter, that was a spark that they needed to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But just to add to what LeBron said, Legs, like, what centers in the NBA can stagger their feet like that to guard a wizard like Steph Curry, who is probably top two in the NBA as relates to ball handling. And you can say that he settled for that second shot, but if you're ever guarded by a seven-footer on the perimeter who can play off of you, who can use his length to test your shot late, that was the most incredible kind of series of the playoffs that I've seen AD have to close it out.
The first one is so impressive. Can we show that again, the first shot by Curry that he misses in that sequence? Because he throws the whole bag at Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And it looks like at the end of it, he gives him that last crossover. Anthony Davis's ability to not only move his feet back from being tangled, which he did, he then goes full extension to get a hand on it. This is what I'm talking about right here. Right at the end of this, watch the crossover he hits Anthony Davis with coming up right there. And Anthony Davis's body is facing the opposite sideline. And for a seven-footer to be able to turn his hips, take a step, and contest, like an honest contest was just enough to make him miss that shot. The second one, his job was a little bit easier because Curry was just in front of him and never tried to make a move, and he just went up. But that first one, I don't know if there's another 6'11 guy in the league, maybe outside of Giannis, that could have stayed with him to that extent athletically to force that miss.
So here we are, about 6 weeks removed from the Lakers being the 12th seed in the Western Conference, to where the Lakers are one win away from knocking out the defending champs and are currently listed by the odds makers in Las Vegas as the favorites to win the West. Do you think they do it, Jay Will?
I think they have a legit shot. I mean, we were on March 30th on this show, and I was like, look, after they played against my Bulls, it was, and people were writing articles, well, it's just against the Bulls, and the Bulls weren't that good. The Bulls are playing really good basketball at that time. And I remember watching them play at the United Center, and I said to myself, this is a team that can win a world championship. Now, a lot has to do with matchups and how this team continues to play. But when you're getting this kind of bully ball, I mean, look, they've won six games shooting below 35% from the three-point line. They're winning games with their defense, and that is their hallmark card. That is what makes this team different.
All right, go ahead.
I was just going to say the biggest difference is also, like, they don't have to be a 38 to 40% three-point shooting team. Not when you've got LeBron and AD, but they've made enough. I mean, they're shooting the same percentage in the postseason as the Warriors, like in the series, 34%. And who would have thought that coming in? They're going to match the Warriors in percentage from the three-point line. So it's just enough. It's timely threes. And then this defense has really been the story for this team, and the way that they remade their roster to be able to help them out in that regard. Look, they're legit. They're legit. I know around here we want to end series when the team gets to three wins.
Right.
We want to know who's going to win the next round. It's impossible to know. That's easier to see once they play one of those teams. But there's no question they've got what it takes to get to the finals and win a championship. They're in that mix without question.
A reminder that this group of Warriors has come from 3-1 down to win a series famously before. We all remember that they were 3-1 up and lost to LeBron and the Cavs in the finals that same year. They were 3-1 down to Oklahoma City, and they needed an all-time great performance from Klay Thompson on the road in Game 6 at OKC against KD and Russell Westbrook to win it. So Golden State has been here before and survived.
Well, I was going to say, when they go to high-volume pick and rolls with Steph, what happens to Klay and Jordan Poole, who had a donut, by the way, last night, okay?
Yeah.
They become stationary targets, right? So they're easier to stay glued to. So they have to find some way to still do high pick and roll with Steph, but to get more continuity with their offense, because when you're allowed just to stay at home on Klay, it doesn't have the same effect on the game.
I have two theories. My first theory is that Jordan Poole, that the criticism that he heard after the shot he took in game one, however much it was warranted or not, he took a YOLO shot at the end of game one that may very well, this is the shot that we talked all about that day, and it may very well wind up being the moment that the series turns, that since that moment, he has not looked the same. He's basically been non-existent since. And you guys, again, you guys both played it at the highest level. You understand it better than I do. Is it possible something like that gets into his head?
For me, yes. I do think that could be a factor. I thought it was a great point that you made, because you think about it. No matter what is said to protect you, and a lot was said on the part of Draymond and a part of Steve Kerr, they all, right? Doesn't matter. You still hear the chatter. You're a young player. You're on social media. You know that you feel self-conscious about the way that that played out. Whether you think, oh, I could have made that shot or not, and that's a good shot for me, I don't think there's a person in that building that necessarily felt that that was a great decision in that moment. He feels all of that. He's self-conscious. Now maybe he presses a little bit, and now it's snowballed for three straight games. He hasn't made a three-point shot in three consecutive games since that moment.
Green, it doesn't matter if Draymond Green or Steve Kerr protect you. Like, the feeling in the locker room tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the way, it followed him last night, even to his post-game interview afterwards with the media. You can just tell there's tension around him overall.
And then I have one more theory for you this morning, and that is this, that I believe the Warriors are going to win Game 5. They're going to come home. They have the heart of a champion. They're going to have the home crowd behind them. The Lakers, I mean, LeBron and AD both played 43 minutes last night. If I'm the Lakers, I leave LeBron and AD in L.A. I say, you know what? We don't win Game 5 no matter what. My shot of winning this series is to come home, keep these guys fresh.
But why do you have to leave them in
ice
L.A.?
Bags. Well, why even bother putting the miles on them on the plane? I let them drive up and down the PCH. It's a beautiful drive. Great. Up and down Pacific Coast Highway.
Can I just
maybe
tell
stop
you something?
Off at Pebble Beach.
Can I just tell you something?
Sure.
If they actually practice your theory, they're going to lose a series.
San Antonio did exactly this years ago.
Steph is one of the most petty, competitive guys there is.
Yeah.
The last thing they need is a spark. You're going to disrespect me?
How am I disrespecting you? I'm showing you the ultimate respect.
Here's the biggest reason why you would never consider it.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. I don't think that Warriors even need bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Like, be that disrespect. Like, that's going to matter.
That.
Here's why.
Yeah.
You leave those two guys at home. Guess who all of a sudden maybe goes off? Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole.
They warm up.
And these guys are back in the series as shooters because you don't have that defense. Now you got a problem on your
hands. I'll amend it.
You stay at home.
No, I
got the show today. How did that work out? That didn't work out well.
The charges in the middle of the trial. You said I was tampering with the jury. Now you're going to change the charges?
Okay, I'm amending the theory. You send them there, but midway through the first quarter, you wave the white flag. We have no chance to win this. LeBron and AD, I will bet you anything you want that LeBron and AD both play under 30 minutes When is the next game? Tomorrow night. They don't.
If the game is close.
The game not going to be close.
But they could. Okay. You can't automatically know that the Warriors going to blow.
Oh, I know everything. No. You don't know what I know.
This could be a game. You're saying premeditate. No matter what the score is, right. You're going to sit Anthony
Davis. Just be careful with that, because I'm saying we know that Golden State Warriors. Yeah. They're a momentum team.
Yeah,
man.
That's what
I'm.
If you
allow them to start catching traction, they've done it before.
So what you're saying is that of all the ridiculously bad ideas I've had in my career,
this was by
this
far
might be the
worst.
You know what?
Agreed.
I'm working on that operating theory. But you know what? I still feel good about it because, as I've told you many times, mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. Jay Will, KJM on ESPN. You're not going anywhere.
Oh,
I'll gladly dap you up, but you're staying with me all morning long. Jay's going back on the radio. Coming up, we're talking about the Knicks and the Heat. The Butler did it again. Are the Knicks done? Could the Heat actually win the East? And then we got to talk about the beard. You need to be feared. James Harden, does he need to score 40 again tonight for Philly to beat Boston? We got it all covered every which way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. I still think I'm right.
Oh!
Do the Lakers go up 3-1 or do the Warriors even this series?
You feel my energy, you ain't no friend of me. You say you love me, but you want
Curry is fouled! Goes! Stephen Curry is putting on a show here in Game 4. Triple-double. Game 4 is a tight one. Walker hits another one! It's the Lonnie Walker game! And a three-point game. Curry, a long three. No! And that's it.
We're just a resilient bunch. We just stayed in the fight. I'm tired as hell, man. Get out of my face.
Just an incredible night last night in L.A. Again, the Lakers, April 13th, 2 days before the first round began, were 14-1 to win the title at Caesars. Now they're plus 325 to win it all. Favorites in the West, second shortest odds only to Boston. Much more on that game as we continue this morning. Meanwhile, to the dismay of our friend Alan Hahn and Stephen A. Smith and everyone else here in New York, we take you to what Jimmy Butler and the Heat did last night to Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. A lot of Bam Adebayo last night, legs, getting it done inside.
Played great, very aggressive. There have been times in this series he wasn't really aggressive offensively. That was not the case last night.
He had 23-13. And then look at that defense, Alan Hahn, by Jimmy Butler.
Shades of Roy Hibbert on Carmelo Anthony in the playoffs 10 years ago. The same type of turning point in that game.
Butler playing both ends of the floor and then making nice passes here. Look at this pretty dish to Caleb Martin, who knocks down the three, and the Heat have a 10-point lead. We got a minute to go in the third. The Heat are up by 9, and legs, more from Jimmy Butler.
Tremendous gap step. One of the best in the business, faces up, gets to the opposite side of the rim, no help for the Knicks.
Windy, Jimmy Butler, 27 points, 10 assists. You could argue he's been the best player in the playoffs.
Jimmy Butler is an immovable force. Eric Spoelstra is an immovable force. You may beat them, but you ain't going to push them around. The Heat are pushing around the Knicks in this series.
Look at Butler getting it done on both ends of the floor. Another block there. Jalen Brunson did what he could for New York. He scored 32. They're within 8 there, but here comes the dagger, and it comes in the form, legs, of a vicious slam dunk.
Yeah, lane just opens up. Knicks get too overextended. Nobody on the back line, and snuck them.
27 for Butler, 23 for Adebayo, 3-1 for Miami, and the numbers all working against the Knicks here. The Heat 14-0 in their history with a 3-1 series lead. The Knicks 0-14 when trailing 3-1. Again, for those across the country who don't know, Alan Hahn, not only with us here at ESPN, but also works for MSG, so you cover the Knicks. You know that team as well as a person can know a team. The Knicks look cooked. That's a terrible a pun to make, considering they're playing in the sun of South Beach, but they really do. They look done.
Yeah, and you know what makes you feel this way is not necessarily just what you're seeing, because the Heat are basically playing the Knicks game better than the Knicks were able to play it. They have just taken everything that they're good at, and they've done it better. Depth, bench, rebounding, effort plays, deflections, all of it. And then on top of it, shooting just ridiculous from three-point range, or it just felt like making threes that just were enough to keep you at an arm's length. Anytime you made a push, they were just demoralizing when they hit their threes in the third quarter. 7 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, demoralizing. But all that aside, when Julius Randle after the game says, I think they want it more, when Tom Thibodeau in game 3 of a second round playoff series on mic in the game on ABC is saying to his team in a timeout in the first half, we need to bring more intensity to the game. When you have to say those things to your team, you're beat.
Yeah. You know, a lot of conversation over the weekend that we had on Countdown with the you know, the guys, particularly from Jalen, was how hard it is to go down to Miami and play this time of year. And I know people will immediately associate that with the nightlife and all that. But according to Jalen, there's more than that. There's also just the reality of the temperature change, the heat, the geography, being down there for 3 days. It sort of saps a little bit of your energy and your strength. We talk about that primarily in football. I know this is an indoor sport. But, I mean, the Knicks, whatever it is, Jimmy Butler is just has just destroyed them. And the Knicks, all year long, were the team that played harder and wanted it more. And right now, Miami looks like that team.
Yeah, particularly the offensive rebounding. That to me, that was the difference in the game. Because what happens when you get that many second and third chance opportunities when a team is trying to come back, but you stall any momentum the Knicks could get. And every single time the Knicks got it to within, looked like a working number, looked like they had a chance to get a couple stops, and you're down five, down six, offensive rebound bucket. They answered every single one of those. And boy, what does it say about what the playoffs could do to old battered bodies? Look at Kyle Lowry. Look at how well Kyle Lowry is playing and what the production he's giving them based on the regular season he had.
Let me get a quick take from Wendy here, and then I got to run to some other business. We'll have much more for this as we go.
The Knicks hadn't played well in this series. They sort of thought they had a chance. They actually played well last night. Randall, Brunson, Barrett played well. They still got beat.
Yeah. The Heat just looked like the better team. Jimmy Butler clearly looks like the best player. We will get thoughts from Stephen A. Smith a little bit later on this program. And if you're looking for a sneak preview of how he's feeling,
relatable,
it can be summed up in one word. Much more basketball as we continue here on Get Up this morning. But right now I want to introduce you to someone that if you don't already know him, you're going to. He is the man who co-launched the Premier Lacrosse League. His name is Paul Rabil. Before the PLL, he played 11 seasons in Major League Lacrosse. He was a 10-time All-Star, scored over 300 goals, won 2 championships. In 2018, he co-founded the Premier Lacrosse League with his brother Mike Rabil. PLL's first season was in 2019. 6 teams. They played 10 games each. Since then, the league has grown rapidly, merging with Major League Lacrosse in late 2020, now entering its 5th season with 8 teams in the fold. It is rapidly becoming a major factor in the world of sports today, and we are pleased to welcome to this program Paul Rabil, who is the co-founder and president of the Premier Lacrosse League, and he's with us. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, for those who don't follow the sport, and people refer to you as the LeBron James of lacrosse when you were playing. And I know that one of the people who gave you advice as you were beginning this venture was Adam Silver, who's someone that we've all gotten to know here well. What was the most important piece of advice he gave you as you began this improbable venture?
Well, first of all, it's so great to be on your show. I've sort of idolized what you all do, not only at SportsCenter, now Get Up, and the greater ESPN family, and we're so proud to be a part of it. I'd like to almost shut the segment down given that introduction. I've never been introduced as well as you just did. But someone like Adam Silver was also like a Jimmy Pitaro to me, a mentor, sort of the North Star in sports. And he really talked about sort of the modern digital age of media. And in the end, sports leagues are performing so well. They're media companies, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, the PLL. So we focused on that, and that's why we launched in a touring model out of the gate so we could optimize for television, which is what we're doing right now.
I want to take everybody sort of back through the history of this. In 2020, the pandemic changed absolutely everything, and you merged the two major lacrosse leagues. And now you have a new TV deal here with us at ESPN, a documentary. Yeah. For those who are interested in this sort of thing, the entrepreneurial side of it and more, what's the biggest thing you got right that others can learn from?
It's a great question, because I think we're still in the journey. I believe in storytelling as a tool of connecting with so many people in different communities that ultimately aggregate at a venue to watch a game, right? You guys were just talking about the NBA playoffs, and all of this stuff comes to life because we know the people that are on the court playing. And for us, that's the next step. How can we tell deeper stories about the people that are playing a game, frankly, that had its first college game? It was NYU versus Manhattan College in 1877. This is not slam ball. This is a game that was the first in North America. It was once in the Olympics. Hopefully, we're going to be back in the Olympics. What we're trying to do is commercialize it. So how do we get more people to see it, attend games? How do we bring these players to life, build superstars and fandom from them? And I think we're on our way, but it's an exciting journey. And again, something that I feel really strongly about, given lacrosse has given me so much opportunity.
As I was reading up last night, one of the things I find most interesting is that your teams have no home venues. Your teams travel around to various cities to play. Tell us the thinking behind that.
Well, in the end, we started with six teams that you had mentioned in the introduction, and we looked at a sport like F1 that really takes its choice around where to go. They're in Miami last weekend, going to be in Italy in a couple weeks. They're 10 teams, two drivers per team. So we looked at sort of, again, that Adam Silver modern digital age, and we wanted to optimize for media. We also didn't want to be exclusive to just six locations. Now we have eight teams. I think as we get to 10 and 12, you might see a world where we transition over to a city model. And it's something we're looking forward to because we want to dive into that community and know how important that is to team sports fans.
Well, maybe the sports world's most famous lacrosse enthusiast is Bill Belichick, who played lacrosse at Wesleyan. I once actually saw him on a treadmill in a hotel just reading a lacrosse magazine. Is it accurate to say that he said he's interested in coaching in your league when he retires from the NFL?
Him and I have had those conversations, but not specifically around when he retires from the NFL. I'm not sure when he does. I would imagine if I was Roger Goodell talking about another commissioner, you don't want Bill Belichick to ever retire. What he brings on the field, which actually, Greeny, like, coaches are huge personalities too. And we have our coaches here tonight for our college draft on ESPNU. We're bringing them to the table different than you get in other drafts where the analysts get to ask them questions straight away after they make their picks. So I look at people like Bill Belichick, Coach K, others who have really transcended sports from a coaching role. And he's been a great friend and mentor to me and a big advocate for lacrosse.
A lot of inventive stuff there. Again, I'll remind everyone, the Premier Lacrosse College Draft tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPNU. The film Fate of a Sport is streaming now on ESPN+. Paul, this won't be the last time we do this. Thank you very much, and best of luck.
So appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Paul Rabil with us. Really interesting story. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back much more of the basketball. Speaking of interesting, a Hollywood shocker, a thrilling finish, an unlikely hero, and a fourth quarter for the ages. We're back with more from LA right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.